Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the program today. I'm almost tempted to, play that song that says, "Oops, I did it again." What I mean by that is that seems that Andy Stanley, again, is out explaining some of the comments that he made. I say again because this seems to be a repeated pattern that keeps happening over and over again, where he makes some sort of controversial remark. Some of the most recent ones that he has made, this one is from March 8th, so we're talking, you know, almost a month ago, but this was in ChristianityToday.com. It says this: Andy Stanley explains his stinking selfish parents comment. The subtitle says this: as much as I wish folks would listen to the entire message, it really doesn't diminish the absurdity of what I said. The absurdity of what I said. The article goes on here to say this: Atlanta area megachurch pastor Andy Stanley has come under fire for his remarks he made about small churches in a recent sermon. Stanley, whose North Point Ministries includes six campuses of over 30,000 attendees a week, referred to parents who attend churches too small to have a robust student ministry as, quote, "stinking selfish," unquote, in a February 28th message entitled, quote, "Saved by the Church," unquote. Stanley addressed a hypothetical parent who refused to attend a larger church for the sake of student ministry options for their kids, and the sermon circulated online, especially as small church leaders raised concerns about his approach. In that sermon, Stanley said, when I hear adults say, quote, "Well, I don't like a big church. I like about 200. I want to be able to know everyone," I say, "You are so stinking selfish. You care nothing about the next generation. All you care about is you and your five friends. You don't care about your kids or anybody else's kids. If you don't go to a church large enough where you can have enough middle schoolers and high schoolers to separate them so that you can have a small groups and grow up the local church, then you are a selfish adult. Get over it. Find yourself a big old church where your kids can connect with a bunch of people and grow up and love the local church. Instead, you drag your kids to a church that they hate, and then they grow up and they hate the local church. They go to college, and you pray that there will be a church in the college town that they can connect with. Well, guess what? All of those churches are big." Now, that was the comment that Andy Stanley made during the sermon. Remember, it's a hypothetical letter that he himself has put together. So he has fictitiously put this person out there responding this way and so forth, you know, kind of a collage or a collection of different comments, I guess, that are different people that he's met over the years or something. But the article goes on then to say this: faced with an online outcry, Stanley apologized on Twitter, saying the negative reaction to the clip from last week's message is entirely justified. Heck, even I was offended by what I said. I apologize. Well, the apology is good, obviously, and as the article goes on to explain a little bit more about that apology. But the issue is that this is just one in a string of statements like this that Andy Stanley has said, and it seems to expose a deeper issue that's taking place. And just recently it was listed in the Aquila Report first, is where I saw it, but it actually appeared out on deliveredbygrace.com. That's the blog posting of Dr. Josh Beiss. And he had an article out there entitled Andy Stanley's Problem with the Bible. And in that article, Josh goes through and he lays out the case for just the fact that this is a reoccurring problem. And it appears to be at the core of that problem seems to be the way that Andy Stanley thinks about the scriptures itself. We're going to discuss that now. Josh joins me. Dr. Josh Beiss joins me now. He's the pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church. I believe that's in Georgia. And, Josh, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
A pleasure to be with you today.
Josh, that church is in Georgia. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're just west of Atlanta, Georgia, so probably about 30 minutes from Andy Stanley's church.
Okay. And I was there at that church, actually. You guys host I forget the titles off with Paul Washer and a number of other folks that come there for a conference every year. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. It's in January each year. It's called the G3 Conference.
Okay, Behold Our God. And, I've attended the conference there, but I just want to make sure we're talking about the same church as well. So you're very close. So to Andy Stanley's church and, 30,000 people attending. So it's not... This isn't, an offshoot of evangelicalism. This is mainstream evangelicalism. Tell our listeners, give us a little bit of a gist of what you wrote in the article, and then maybe we can go through a couple of the points that you mentioned.
Okay, sure. First of all, the blog that I write it's not a polemic blog. It's not a ministry that's just seeking each day to write an article about, confronting people mm-hmm. or ministries. So I typically write a sermon review on Monday and then on Tuesday and Thursday, I will just write an article on a various, subject matter that might be in the hopper or something that's been planned for a while. Occasionally, I will write an article that confronts, say, a ministry or a specific book that might be problematic to the church as a whole. And in this particular article, I just wrote about Andy Stanley's problem with the Bible that I've really been documenting for and looking at for a number of years. And so really in the article, there's nothing late breaking. There's no unveiling of, any compromise or capitulation in Andy Stanley or his ministry, except, his recent statements, as you've already mentioned, about large church versus small church.
Mm-hmm.
So all the article was really just an overview of what I see as a perpetual capitulation of Andy Stanley's ministry as it pertains to his ministry philosophy, mm-hmm. Specifically his approach to the Word of God. And so I just went through and just documented some things that he has stated, whether it be in interview form or in book form or sermon form.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that article, I'm just seeking to make it clear that, I might still consider Andy Stanley as someone within the bounds of orthodoxy. So I'm not putting him in the classification of heresy or heretic as I would a Joel Osteen or a Joyce Meyer. However, as I look at the trajectory of his ministry, as it pertains to his ministry philosophy, I am extremely concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, the disclaimer, well taken and well understood, and I appreciate the spirit in which you're writing this. And another side, the flip side of that is, he's the one making the statements. He makes these outrageous statements for people just to question as to, by his own account, he says that it was an outrageous, absurd statement that he makes. So by his own account, for people to look at it and question, what do you mean by that? And that doesn't line up with what we find in the Word of God. I don't make any apologies for he makes these statements publicly for looking at these statements and bringing them back to the touchstone of God's Word. But I appreciate the spirit in which you said that because when we do bring these things out, obviously, we're going to get a lot of email and Twitter posts or whatever saying that we're just looking for controversy and, you know, out there to bring out the bad points without acknowledging the good points. You don't do that in this article. I don't do it as well. But we'll just take the disclaimer right there at the beginning as taken for anybody who would want to accuse that that's what's taking place there. It's just not. Let me ask you about the one of the things that Andy Stanley brought out was the, you know, is about the verse-by-verse preaching. Is it cheating to do this? And let me say that. You say in the beginning of the article that somehow – Andy seems to constantly make these types of controversial statements. This, as we mentioned, this isn't the first time. It just is like this constant barrage of these things. Some sort of statement that he makes that is just questionable, where, as you say, you can't say, well, he's unorthodox because he made this, but it always leaves us hanging there, that we're just not quite sure what is meant about this statement. That's where you start off. And then you talk about the verse-by-verse preaching and his comments about expository preaching in the Bible. Talk about those issues.
Okay, so, you know, as a pastor, I'm very committed to what we call expository preaching. I think that's the best way to preach the Word of God. I think if I'm going to read a letter or if I'm going to, say, go through a will after someone passes away, I'm going to start with the first sentence, and I'm going to work to the very concluding remarks. I'm not going to start in the middle of the letter. I'm not going to start, you know, at the back. I'm not going to seek to make some type of fancy outline or whatever else. I'm just going to start with the beginning, and I'm going to try to work through and understand who wrote it, who's the audience, and try to unpack it. I'm not saying that any topical sermon is sinful. If you preach a topical sermon at any point, that, you know, somehow you're guilty of breaking a cardinal command of Christ or you're in sin. I'm just saying that I think that the best method to rightly handle the Word of God is through a verse-by-verse explanation of Scripture. Now, Andy Stanley is certainly no expositor. That's no secret. His ministry is built on a topical methodology, and so each week he's seeking to deal with, you know, current events or things that are relevant in the culture. And as you look at his ministry, what you'll notice is that he spends the majority of his time focusing on the unbeliever. So his sermons are primarily geared to an unbelieving audience, although he's standing on a platform in a building supposedly preaching to a believing audience. That's what a church is on the Lord's Day. So his ministry philosophy and my ministry philosophy are not certainly not aligned. I think that if we compare the two, we're on two opposite ends of the spectrum. So as I read in the article, In 2009, he actually was interviewed by Ed Stetzer of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he's speaking about expository preaching or preaching the Bible in general, and he was asked about verse-by-verse preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he made the statement that guys that preach verse-by-verse through books of the Bible, he says that's just cheating. And he says it's cheating because that would be easy, first of all, and that isn't how you grow people. Well, certainly, I would not agree with that. I think that if you're committed to a verse-by-verse preaching methodology, that it's not easy. I think that if you talk to anyone who's committed to that,
mm-hmm.
you will find that it's very difficult because you are forced to deal with the totality of Scripture. And so that means you must preach not just the easy passages, but you must also preach the hard passages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, I think that his statement is off point. But, you know, again, that's just the tip of the iceberg with the problems that I see with Andy Stanley.
You know, John 17:17 comes to my mind right away. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the divine, divinely ordained methodology for change or growth as he puts it here in his statement, is the understanding and the application of God's word. And again, to get the proper understanding of what's being said in the text, you have to look at what the text actually says. And so in order to do that, and then when you're looking at the text, you know, what was his application originally to the original audience, and then out of that to draw applications for ourselves. And that's the methodology to then say, you know, to refer to that as being cheating by doing it, or, you know, easy. It just it betrays, you know, a lack of understanding about the value of that method. Again, I agree with you. Spurgeon, you know, seemed to be more topical in his approach. That's for sure. If you read through the Metropolitan Tabernacle and so forth, he seemed to, you know, be more. So we're not saying that this is the only methodology. I broke from our series of Jude, and then we're finishing up in Jude and just started the book of Jonah. I broke from ours in order to preach about the resurrection of Christ just a week and a half ago. So, you know, we do it occasionally. But that said, I wouldn't then belittle and make these types of comments about the other method that's there, especially a message or method that has proven itself to be very profitable in growing the congregation that year before. So that's a real problematic statement. And, you know, I think that people spoke out about that pretty strongly when he made that statement as well. Let's go on a little bit further. Another statement that he made, this one was in 2010 at a pastor's conference for the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is one of the things that we should mention. Not only is he, you know, a gifted speaker and, you know, talking to 30,000 people at this church and so forth, but he's also training other pastors about how to preach and how to, quote unquote, grow their church, these other methodologies. So he's got a lot of influence, especially within SBC, but it goes broader than that as well. So with that as a little bit of background, in 2010, he spoke at this pastor's conference. And what did he tell them there about, you know, the Bible being sufficient for church growth?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the question that I ask. But I was actually in attendance at this pastor's conference. And so Andy Stanley's on the stage, on the platform, and he's basically just appealing to the Bible occasionally or casually, you might say, but he's not preaching the Bible. So his entire sermon was a church growth manual, you might say. And so he's appealing to big box corporations. He's talking about Chick-fil-A and Intel. And he continuously repeats a phrase. He says, if you make your church better, they, and he's speaking about the community, they will come and make your church bigger. So his entire sermon was simply a pragmatic approach to ministry. If you want to have a big church, if you want to be successful, then you do everything really well and polished and have everything buttoned up, so to speak, as far as your ministry is concerned. And then you can expect to draw in the community around your church because they're interested in seeing you do something, do ministry in particular, ministry with precision and with excellence. Now, look, as a pastor, I can appreciate a man who wants the church, the local church and local pastors to do ministry with excellence. There's nothing wrong with that statement. However, the question becomes this: are we resting our ministries upon corporate models of business success versus the preaching and the teaching of the gospel as the sufficiency for church growth? And so, once again, I see that Andy Stanley is looking outside of the Bible for the solution for church growth as opposed to the gospel itself.
That seems to be, to me, seems to be the core of all these issues. You know, this underlying thought that bigger is better, and that results in this pragmatism about, well, how do we make the church bigger, and then numerical growth seems to be the goal rather than the goal being the glory of God in the faithful exposition of His Word. And so when you, if growth, just church growth is your better, is your growth being in numerical growth, being your goal, then you're going to do all kinds of things to try to appeal to people to just come and fill those seats, rather than just saying, well, my goal is to be faithful to the Word of God and to the systematic preaching and teaching of God's Word week in and week out. If that's my goal, then I'm not going to, these other things are going to be distractions to that. They're going to be things that need to be eliminated, right?
Absolutely. I think you're right, spot on, as you make the statement about pragmatism. Look, the church today, the evangelical church as a whole, is drunk on this drug of pragmatism. I mean, it's as if the local church today, or in essence, the evangelical church, you might say, as in a more broad sense, is guilty of idolatry as it becomes the false god of bigness. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be bigger and numbers equal success. Well, not necessarily so. I mean, look, we have churches today that are installing fire truck lights and all this surrounding their baptistry so that they can entice children to want to jump into the baptistry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have churches that are doing indoor fireworks shows and smoke machines and lights and camera and
rodeo
concerts and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pragmatic attempt to entice unbelievers to come to a building, and then we call them the church. And that's just simply not an accurate use of the word church in the New Testament sense.
Yeah, I met a fellow at a grad sale one time, and he said, our slogan is, we are the church for the unchurched. And he said, what do you think about that? I said, I don't like it. I said,
yeah,
the Church of Jesus Christ, although there's obviously an evangelical emphasis in just about every message, because we're just not sure, even among the professing church, whether they're those that remain still, they're hard-heartened against the gospel and still outside of Christ. So there's always an evangelical aspect to the teaching. But what seems to be here is that every message is surrounded, is targeting an evangelical or an evangelistic emphasis in the message, which makes for a very shallow group of people. By Willow Creek, after they took their survey a number of years ago, by their own admission, they said, you know, we're an inch deep and a mile wide. We have a lot of people, but we don't know the Bible. This was after years of the seeker-sensitive model. And I think that Stanley is just an expression of that same seeker-sensitive mentality, and this is what you get with it. You get the Bible needs to be de-emphasized in the truth of the Scriptures in order to make the gospel more palatable to the people you're trying to draw in.
Right. Yeah, let's just say that, you know, in a sermon on the Lord's Day, that Andy Stanley is actually speaking to, in an evangelistic thrust, to a group of unbelievers in that room, let's suppose that they actually do come to faith in Christ that particular day. The next week, if they hear that same sermon or the same gist, if it's a John 3:16, just repent and believe the gospel, or an appeal, you know, you might say even in some sort of apologetic methodology to prove that the Bible is trustworthy or whatever else, if that's all they're hearing every single week, what you said is exactly right. They will know how to call upon the Lord for salvation, but they're not going to know anything else about God. Mm. And that's extremely troubling as we think about the evangelical church in our present culture.
Now, along with that, then, in the article, you point out that he is very unclear about where he stands on the issue of homosexuality. I could have guessed that. When you have that mentality that we've just been describing, I could have told you that point without ever reading your article or even listening to the sermon. I could have said right in the very beginning, if this is the type of ministry you're describing, I'll tell you right now that he doesn't take a stand on homosexuality. Because obviously in our society today, to remain mystical about exactly where you stand on this issue is kind of the way that we find people doing this in today's society today. You know, they don't clearly put their flag in the ground and say this is what the scripture has to say on this. Secondly, you also point out about that he makes some statements against the Bible itself. He said, don't say the Bible says in one of his, in 2014, at one of the exponential against focusing on church growth, numerical church growth, I'll keep saying, at that conference, he said, don't say the Bible says, but rather say the author's name. So, you know, he didn't like that phrase that we keep pointing back to the Bible and saying that it's the Bible that says these things. So just constantly this methodology of sometimes using your dislike for the church or your dislike for, you know, the certain aspects of the church as a methodology that then reach out to those that are yet outside the church. And it to me, it just is very, very problematic, as you point out here in your article.
Yeah. Well, let's just be honest. Andy Stanley is a very gifted communicator. He knows how to speak well. He's been around public speaking, preaching, basically his entire life. However, as we think about that, if you look at his method, when he's preaching, it's almost as if he's working extra hard to try to not, you know, offend an unbeliever. Once again, I think that we must ask ourselves an honest question. What is the Lord's Day for? And what is the role of a pastor? To, first of all, preach the word, to disciple believers, to encourage holiness, to exalt God and true reverent worship of God, to do the work of an evangelist. There's nothing wrong with appealing to unbelievers. We know the stats. I mean, there's an awful lot of lost church members, you know, in the evangelical church. There's visiting families each week to many of our churches. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, appealing to an unbeliever and calling upon them to repent and to believe the gospel. But the entire sermon should not be geared to that. And then you're also to, as a pastor, shut the mouths of those who, you know, who contradict the gospel. So all of this has to be done in a balanced fashion. But primarily, the calling of a pastor is to exalt God and to disciple believers on the Lord's Day. So he seems to be working overtime to not offend the unbeliever. Now, let me just say this. I think that you can fall into two different ditches on this problem. One, you can go the route of Andy Stanley where you never even speak about homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you could go to the route of being homophobic within the church, and I don't think that that's the route to go either. I think that what we must do is we must speak accurately and biblically as it relates to all sin.
Mm-hmm.
So call sin, you know, with adultery, call it adultery.
Right.
And then with the sin of homosexuality, call it homosexuality. That's something that he has not been willing to do, and this is, quite frankly, one of the largest concerns that I personally have as far as Andy Stanley's ministry, in that sermon that he preached back in 2012 titled When Gracie Met Truthy, and then he gives an illustration about two men who were in his church in a somewhat of a leadership position, and then he gives an illustration about how he had to confront them and have them step down from their position, but yet he called it just quote-unquote old-fashioned adultery. And so he wasn't willing to call him out on homosexuality because one of the men was married. He was committing adultery on his wife. And so the entire illustration was confronting adultery but not the sin of homosexuality. I think that that's certainly a capitulation on his part, and an unwillingness to be clear on the sin of homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. You know, he said that, you know, we need to not fall in one side of the ditch or once off one side of the horse than the other, as you were talking about, you know, not making that the gist of the message, but not avoiding it as well. And you know what? Ironically, expository preaching helps you to be able to do that because you deal with all the subjects that come up as they come up in the scripture. So it keeps you from preaching hobby horses or you know, just one pet doctrine after, you know, constantly, the expository preaching will make sure then that you preach through all of the themes and subjects that are faced in the Bible as they come up. Well, this is interesting. I just read a more recent article on CNN about Andy Stanley and his dad, Charles Stanley. And I think it just came out the other day, but one statement in there said this. Andy said, "I tell my staff all the time, we won't always be the coolest church. And so when we stop, you know, trying to do all these edgy things, then we'll stop being the coolest church and so forth." Well, that's not the right goal. The right goal is not to be the coolest church in the eyes of the world. Whenever Christianity is cool, it tends not to be doing what Christ wants you to do. There is persecution that is associated with the preaching of God's word, and cool just isn't the adjective that I would use to focus on in the church. Well, Josh, thank you so much for writing about these things, and thank you so much for coming on the program to talk about them. And again, appreciate your spirit in doing so, not trying to just go out and, you know, just hammer Andy Stanley, but to bring everything back to the touchstone of Scripture so that we can evaluate ourselves and make sure that we don't fall into these pitfalls that we see taking place around us here in the world. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you, Kevin, for the invitation. Have a great day.
All right. You too, my friend. Okay, that was Josh Bice. And again, you can read his article out on his website. He has a blog called deliveredbygrace.com. That's www.deliveredbygrace.com. And you can go out there to find out more about this particular article. The article was entitled Andy Stanley's Problem with the Bible. And you can read about that. Also, I referred to a couple of news stories. There was a news story out of Christianity Today where Andy Stanley was explaining his stinking, selfish parents' comments, one of the ones that we were talking about. We need to preach the gospel unashamedly. The word of God is how we grow in Christian life.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.